At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Hardwood Handicappers, VSiN's premier NBA betting podcast.
Welcome in. It's Hardwood Handicappers. Kelly Bidlin, Zach Cohen here. It is Monday, January 29th. No JVT today, just Kelly and Zach. Be running through the whole Monday card for you. Man, Zach, it's a deep one today. We got some good games. We got lots of bets, lots to get to. How you doing, man?
Doing well. You know, I'm selfishly excited that there's only one football game left and we get to focus on basketball for the next couple of months.
Oh, yeah, good point. Welcome to all of the NBA fans out there who believe the season starts today.
Probably something
we should mention. Hey, for those of you who have been loyal listeners over the year or just over the years or over just even over the past few months, tell your friends. They might actually be interested in betting the NBA and listening to a couple podcasts now that the NFL season is winding down. Yeah, it was. I was definitely thinking that last night, Zach. This is, our attention always is here on the NBA. And it doesn't get really lost. But yes, there is a new wave of audience for sure that will be jumping on board, thinking the NBA season basically starts just now. Okay, nothing too big to hit on from last night. I don't think the Pistons beat the Thunder, which was, I think, everybody got everybody's day started with a laugh. And for Detroit, sorry about your Lions last night, but your Pistons got a W. So the sixth win of the year for them. I was kind of chuckling. We were talking a little bit about this before I hit the record button. I said I'd just save it for air, Zach. I've been on a good run lately, but as what often happens with good runs is make sure to count up and don't forget the lucky ass wins you get sometimes along the way. Because when you're sitting there complaining about your bad beats, 90% of the people that are whining about their bad beats all the time never think about how lucky they just got like a week and a half ago, and they already forgot about it all the time. I mean, that is it's a constant in the poker world, but just as prevalent in the sports betting world. We remember so much more easily the bad beats that we take and not the ones we get lucky on. And the Bulls was definitely a bet again last night. I went to the well with the Bulls against the Blazers last night. I don't really know how I escaped with a cover on 6.5 in that game, them winning by 8. And it's like, honestly, Zach, I know we were talking about our records end of last week. It's probably the third game in the past like week and a half that I pulled out a W by like a 1.5 points or less when you're talking about a spread bet. So this is going to be your reminder that I'm going to drop every once in a while. Remember the games that you get really freaking lucky on.
Yep. Yeah, I had the Blazers plus 5.5 in that game. So
Man, I'm sorry. I didn't even know.
No, it's okay. It's all good. They shouldn't have covered, honestly. They had a chances in that game, but like, it's not like it was close enough where I was a bad beat or anything.
Yeah, no, it was it was actually a pretty competitive game throughout. Was way too close for my liking. But I don't want to say it was bad beat, but it was kind of bad beatish for you to not have covered at the end there when it was so close towards the end of it, the NBA end game. And this was, we kind of talked about it last week of just about some of those key numbers and key number ranges, to avoid. And this is where you kind of talk about it, right? This is like those type of games where you can see NBA endgame. You always got to keep in mind where free throws come into play, and those, a three is a one possession game, and then they're going to foul, and that easily goes to 5, and that easily goes to 7. Mm-hmm. And those are kind of the numbers. I don't know if you agree, Zach, but those are kind of the numbers that I usually try to stick around in my mind. And you can go up and look online. I mean, the amount of NBA games that land between 5 and 8, I think, is roughly like 24% of the time. So that's usually like the band that I'll try to bet around. Like all I know, Zach, and it might just be a mental thing for me, but it is the amount of games that I would have said early, you know, years and years ago that I felt like I lost laying 5.5 points, you know what I mean? Instead of laying a 4.5, like it is that, at least that number 5, I always will try to work around if I can. It's not worth buying points, but you're always trying to get in front of the market or wait for it to come back to you.
Yeah, I completely agree. 3, 5, and 7 is what I'm looking for. So, yeah, spot on there. That's why I kind of thought like I was still in the clear when I got Blazers +5.5. I would have liked a little bit more, but I was like, I think it's good with where it is. But, yeah, it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, man, I hear you. All right, well, we move on to today. We're going to start this early. We'll go through everything on the card for today. No JVT, but we got a lot of games to get to and a lot of bets. And, Zach, don't let me forget JVT's if we roll through any of the games that he bet on. I know he did have a couple. Actually, no, he's got a few. Okay, we'll start at the top. Clippers and Cavs actually right at the top of rotation. 7:10 Eastern time, 4:10 Pacific. We have the Clippers heading into the Cavaliers. We were talking about injuries before we started recording. Donovan Mitchell listed as probable, actually is on the injury report, so maybe worth noting on that. And Evan Mobley does look like he will make his return tonight, is upgraded to questionable, so keep an eye on that. That could change between now. We are recording right now at 1:47 p.m. Eastern time, so obviously could change before tip-off tonight, but we do expect him to return. I would expect he's going to be on some kind of minutes restriction, although I haven't seen anything specific on that. Anything that you have in this game tonight?
I took the Clippers money line -125. I believe this is one where JVT had Clippers -2.
Yeah, he did.
This is a game where, you know, it was tough to call because the Cavaliers are like scorching hot lately. But I do think, you know, the Clippers have been the best offensive team in the league for a month or two now. And I do think they're going to have no trouble kind of scoring against the Cavaliers defense that has been really good. But I do think that the matchup's great for Los Angeles. I don't think that Cleveland really has anybody that can kind of cover George or Kawhi. And I just think that on the other end of the floor, you're going to have, you know, PG or Kawhi out there to switch onto Mitchell when they need to. I think it's going to be tough for the Cavaliers to score easy buckets. And the return of Mobley actually scares me a little bit for Cleveland. I think that, you know, they kind of founded an identity without him. It was, you know, they're a team that launches a ton of threes. They have all the spacing in the world. With him back in the mix, you know, potentially playing next to Allen in spurts of minutes, I think they're going to have to figure out something else that works for them. You know, we've seen this team struggle to score with those two on the court. So I'm interested in seeing what it looks like. It's never great when you bring a big player back into a mix when a team is playing very well. So I think it's a tricky situation for Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I didn't bet this game pregame. I do have the Clippers side circled, though, to look at live tonight. Rest situation here, 3 and 4 for the Clippers. They are on kind of this mini road trip right now, started in Toronto. We saw them just coming off that game against Boston that they handled the Celtics over the weekend. So I'm a little concerned if they're going to fully be up for this game. But like you said, Cleveland's been playing about as well as anybody right now. So I would be surprised if they didn't. I think I'm just going to wade into this one with a look at the Clippers live potentially in this game if we get some shooting percentages out of whack early. Absolutely the side I would lean to, though, in that game. It was one that I had circled early, just didn't get to end up betting pregame. Like you said, though, JVT on that side as well. And I really do, just to echo your sentiments, I really do think the just the matchups are going to be an issue. Mainly for the Cleveland defense on the offensive weapons for the Clippers. I think there could be some matchup issues down low, for the Clippers with the Cavs side of it. I think if you look Jared Allen over rebounds or over points and rebounds or something like that, I think he could have a big game down there tonight, which is something I might actually end up betting pregame, but that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I do lean the Clippers side there though as well. So two bets and a lean. That's pretty damn good for us when it comes, especially lately for the three of us coming to a consensus. So two bets and a lean to the Clippers side on that one. All right, moving on down. Knicks at Hornets tonight, 7:10 Eastern time tip here. I played the red hot Knicks in this one, Zach, but I played it yesterday and laid 6.5 points. This is out to 9 most places here now, 220.5 to 221.5 is where you're going to see the total. Julius Randle out for the Knicks. Yes, Knicks taking money, but Julius Randle is out. Shoulder injury for Randle. I think news came down this morning. I was probably on the air, Zach. I expected to miss a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, Woj said a couple. It's a matter of weeks, not months, so it's not okay. A season-ending injury, but somewhat significant.
Yeah, that's big. I didn't really know how to. I thought that was kind of just a shoulder popping out when I saw it in real time, and was hoping it wasn't anything worse than that. So sounding like it's not too much worse than that for Randle. This Knicks team's been playing so well; it really hurt. Really hurts to not have him. I mean, him and Mitchell Robinson out. Your whole starting guy. Front court out right now is pretty brutal. Other major injury to keep an eye on here is LaMelo Ball. He is listed as questionable tonight for the Hornets. I bet this at 6.5. I mean, this is two teams that are completely headed in opposite directions right now. We're talking about a New York Knicks team that over their past 10 games, 8-2 straight up, plus 14.8 net rating in non-garbage time minutes during those games, second in the NBA, only behind those Cleveland Cavaliers. Talking about a top 10 offense, top 10 defense that they're throwing at you. No, Julius Randle obviously does impact that. Charlotte, though, man, I know they've had LaMelo back for a lot of these games. And Zach, I feel like I'm still waiting to like hop on board to like this team at some point, because we brought that up all the way back in the preseason of, hey, watch out, this team could be something here along the way. But 2-8 over their last 10, minus 16.8 net rating and non-garbage time minutes. That is second worst in the NBA, bottom three offense and defense right now. They are really struggling. We've talked about this Knicks team being a bully before. So that was really just my look tonight, was just the Knicks kind of taking care of business in Charlotte. Did you have anything on that game?
I don't have anything in this game. I mean, the only thing I'd say is, like, I do worry about, you know, the Knicks in these next couple of weeks, because they're not a team that has a lot of firepower offensively. They need a guy like Randle that kind of dominates the ball. You know, it drives some Knicks fans crazy, but
yeah,
he is a guy that could create offense really easily for himself, and honestly a pretty decent passer for a big man. So I do think New York's in trouble in terms of offense over these next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm wondering if how much of that pressure falls on OG. I think it's going to. It's just, you know, we haven't really seen him be that type of guy a ton before, but I'm with you, because I think that is going to be, might not be an issue in this game tonight, but I think it's going to be an issue for him while he's out, is where does the rest of that offense come? It can't always be coming from Brunson. So yeah, I'm with you. I think it's something to keep your eye on for sure.
The Hornets, we're going to be waiting all season. Like, I just don't think that this team has it, even though it's the same team that it was a few years ago when they made that play-in run. Was James Borrego the coach of the team that year and they fired him after the loss?
I believe that is correct.
Yeah, that feels like somewhat significant now looking back on it.
Which, like, if I remember correctly, he was also like in coach of the year running, like, yes, for like much of the year. Yes. Yeah. I believe we're nailing that correctly. But that also feels like Mike Tomlin from this year. It was like, oh, like, fire this guy to coach of the year to fire this guy again. Yeah. And you got to win another winning season. So, yeah, the Hornets, you're a problem. Okay, Suns at the Heat, 7:40 Eastern. Right now we are Heat 3, the 3.5-point home favorites, 229.5, basically painted across the board total for this game. Suns, Nurkic is questionable for tonight. Suns did just play. That was yesterday. They just played Orlando,
yeah,
right? Yeah. Just played Orlando yesterday, so back-to-back for them heading into Miami. Zach, I'm going to toss you this on this one. I didn't have anything here. I almost played the Suns yesterday. Man, this feels like a Heat spot right here. But, God, this team has been so gross recently. I cannot bring myself to bet this game at all. Anything that you had?
No, I agree with you. Like, the Suns money line is, like, screaming at me just, like, in terms of value. But yeah. I do think that the Heat are probably going to find a way to win this game. The Suns have just been shooting themselves in the foot with turnovers and, like, They do lack an offensive identity, which is kind of crazy considering the talent they have. Like, they just can't figure out the right balance of who goes when. In the last few games, it's been Booker playing really well offensively, but at the same time, you know, they're counting on him to share the ball and get KD and Beal involved. So they need to figure something out offensively. I wouldn't say it's been like one step forward, two steps back, but it feels like it's been like two steps forward, one step back. They were playing well you know, the last 2 weeks, but they've fallen apart a little bit here these last few days.
Yeah, it's you know, I think the important thing, you know, especially for you as a Suns fan, so I can talk to you like a fan, Zach. I think the important thing is just having these guys on the court together, yeah. Right? Like it is. I mean, I know we're talking about regular season. We are talking about regular season NBA betting. Like that's the point of this podcast. So obviously, yeah, I think right now is a time to be a little bit concerned. But as this team goes forward, I think as long as these guys are just actually on the court together playing, yeah. I think they're going to get it figured out. I still think this is a team to be very, very scared of in the Western Conference. I think it's just going to take time with these guys. I kind of trust them to get it together, though. I'm really interested to see how dangerous this team could end up being in the playoffs.
They've been pretty close to unbeatable when the starting five has played together, and then right. Like in the minutes that they've played together as well. So I do think that's really the thing. It's just it's health, which is what we said before the season. But I will say the concerning thing is it's health extended to now Grayson Allen and Yusuf Nurkic, not just the big three. The depth is still a concern, even after some moves that looked like they were favorable in the offseason.
Yeah, which is, you know, we brought that up a couple times talking about that team already, but even just like, when you start talking about health concerns for Nurkic and Grayson Allen and stuff like that, like, okay, most times we laugh that off when we're talking about a championship caliber team, but no, like these guys are that important because yeah. There's just so little behind them that, yeah absolutely. Yeah, those are names that pop up. If they pop up on an injury report now, you have to be far more aware of them. Than you might normally. And honestly, in this matchup tonight, and not having Nurkic is pretty damn big. You'd like yeah. to be able to throw a big body, you know, at Bam to have him to just deal with and spend his energy with handling down low a little bit. All right, let's keep rolling. Big one tonight in Boston. God, these games are becoming so tough with the Celtics. Celtics, 8.5-point home favorites, 236 right now, pretty much everywhere, 235.5 to 236. Is where you're going to find total. I'll tell you, Zach, like my numbers would have said bet the Suns, but like I got a feeling about that game, so I'm passing on it tonight. And my numbers would absolutely tell me bet the Pelicans here tonight against the Celtics at this number. I just can't. I can't. This Boston team has been, I feel like when I've bet on them or bet against them, it's been die or die for me this season. No matter what I do with this team, I think the Pelicans, I initially wrote them down as a team I was going to look at live tonight, but I'm like, they're already catching 8.5 yeah. points. Like, what am I looking for, right? Like, they're going to start off bad, and I'm going to hope to get double digits, and then I actually expect them to come, like, make it a game where that's going to come into play later? Like, no, not really. I think you're either playing this pregame or you're not playing it at all. That was my inner monologue yesterday as I was handicapping this game. Did you actually have anything?
I grabbed the 9 with the Pelicans in this game. I really had no interest in playing it. Like I looked at it on the matchup, you know, on the matchup page. I thought it was a tough one, but I just think 9 points, that's a lot. I think that the Pelicans are good. And like, even though they've struggled in the last week, they've lost 3 of their last 4, still 9-6 in the last 15. I like the way they defend. I think that they're going to come and get up for this game. And I do think at the same time, you're looking at an injury report with Porzingis and Al Horford is questionable for Boston. They play tomorrow night. I can see them being cautious with one or both of those two. And I do think if, you know, both of them aren't out there, that leans pretty heavily in New Orleans' favor. This is a lot of points to be giving to a good team.
That's a good call. I'm just making note of that right now. I think I'll be in on New Orleans. If both of those guys don't go, I'll be in on New Orleans. Because that is, I still think the most dangerous thing New Orleans can throw at you is Zion straight to the hoop. And if you don't have the answer for that, then it's going to put you behind the eight ball. And if you're talking about Horford being out and Porzingis being out, it's going to open up far more opportunities for Zion to be getting to the rim, picking up fouls, picking up easy layups. So, and Cornette's doubtful too. That's crazy. I didn't even notice that before. So you got, Porzingis, Horford, and Cornette, all of them.
There's no one to play center if those two are out.
All right, I'm making note of that one right now. Yeah, that could be an issue for them tonight. 8.5 points. That was already on the high side to me anyways. All right, Jazz and Brooklyn. Let's see. This right now is pretty much Utah 1. We're kind of around the pick 'em here, but mainly Utah 1's out there. And 235.5 to 236.5 is where you're going to see the total. I bounced around this one a lot yesterday on the opener. I was trying to figure out if I wanted to bet. I looked at Jazz. I looked at over. I looked at Jazz team total over. Ended up staying away from it, and then JVT shot me a text that he was on the Jazz, and I was like, all right, that's good enough for me. I was I think I was just coming up with reasons to take me off of this game. But the Jazz really have been, they continue to be pretty impressive and pretty consistent. 12-5 over their last 17 plus 5.9 net rating on garbage time minute. That is good for seventh in the NBA, third in offense over that time. And this Brooklyn team has just been awful. They can't get, I don't want to say awful, but they can't get any consistent offense going. 4-12 over their last 15, 23rd in net rating over that time, 26th in offensive efficiency, 9th in defensive. So this is a game, it was lean Jazz, lean over for me. Ended up making a small bet on the Jazz in this game. Is this a spot you had anything, Zach?
I played the over 235. Okay. Yeah, I just think the Jazz have been getting themselves into, you know, wild shootouts more often than not, even on games with high totals. And I do think, you know, it was a really small sample size, but early in the season when Ben Simmons was playing for the Nets, that was a team that was, you know, top 10 in offense, miserable on defense. And I don't think he's going to get them back to being a top 10 offense, but I do think that regardless of the, you know, his inability to shoot the ball, he's a player that creates good opportunities for his teammates. And I think that he plays with a pace and a purpose that will help Brooklyn, even if it's going to be limited minutes. So I think that this is a game where Brooklyn will kind of break out of its offensive funk a little bit. So, you know, these teams played in Utah a few weeks ago. Utah scored 125. Brooklyn only scored 108. I would expect the Nets to do a better job of helping out over betters on their own home floor tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes sense. I was definitely looking hard at the over as well. I mentioned it, but we're Jazz team total over. I kind of like all three. I kind of like the side, the team total over and the over in the game. So, definitely makes sense to me why you're on the over. I think the one that was kind of keeping me off this game last night from a side perspective, it was just looking at schedules, and Brooklyn's been, they've been, yeah, they haven't been great, but they've also played a brutal schedule here recently. You're talking about, you know, they got a win over Houston the other night, you know, but then it's losses against Minnesota, the Knicks, the Clippers, win against the Lakers, loss at Portland, loss with the Heat at home, loss at Cleveland. Like, there's some tough teams that are mixed in there. Meanwhile, it's Utah that's been kind of, when they've been winning games, it's kind of been beaten up on these worse opponents. But, you know, they're not playing a good team tonight, really. Yeah. So that's kind of what, you know, part of the reason why I ended up thinking still Jazz was the spot to look at. All right, moving on down the board, we've got Wizards at the Spurs. This is a 5:10 Pacific time tip, 8:10 Eastern. The Spurs right now, 3.5 to 4-point favorites, 241.5 is your total. I've got nothing here. I have a feeling, though, that Zach does, and I don't even all I know is he's got a lot of bets in it. I didn't even read his article. Do you have anything here?
I don't have anything here. I mean,
I don't know why I thought you'd be on the Spurs here, but I thought you would be.
I mean, I don't hate the Spurs. They've been playing like really well lately, and that I do think that, you know, you get a team that you're supposed to beat on your home floor. Like, this is a good spot for San Antonio. I mean, this is one where I was telling you that I might be looking to add some stuff later. I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't rule out jumping on San Antonio -4 at some point, but okay. Yeah, I stayed away for now.
All right, I'm going to go a little out of order here on us because I just saw some injury news come down. Sacramento Kings and the Grizzlies. I laid 8 yesterday with the Kings just because this Grizzlies team is like, we've talked about it a couple times, but at this point they're basically rolling out a G League lineup. But geez, just got this come down too. We have Zaire Williams doubtful, Conchar doubtful, Vince Williams questionable, Luke Kennard out all today. So even the minimal players that they had, not looking great tonight. So I guess I like my bet. I know nobody's listening live, so it doesn't really matter right now. But if Zach, if you wanted to hit that, I don't even know. I see 8.5s and 9s out there. I think that would still be a fair bet, in my opinion, with all these injuries these guys got going. It is pretty.
I had played Vince Williams Jr. over 11.5 points and over 14.5 alternate. So we'll see if he goes tonight.
Read his name? I don't even know what
you
said
he was questionable.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm like, there's so many damn injuries, I can't even keep up with them all. So, yeah, okay. So either you're going to get screwed there, or it's probably a really good play because he's going to be one of the few guys out there that can actually score. I like it. Okay, that was not one that JVT had a play on. Okay, back in order, Lakers at the Rockets. Lakers 1-point favorites for the most part here, 232.5. Yeah, that's painted total for this game. Nothing for me in this one. Your classic ridiculous Lakers injury report. LeBron and AD are questionable, but they play all the time when they're questionable. Nothing too big to worry about on the Rockets side. Jabari Smith will be going tonight. I looked at the under here, Zach. Ended up passing, though. Just this total felt high to me. But no play side or total for me. Anything you got on this one?
I took Houston in this game. I thought that this was a good spot for the Rockets. They beat the Lakers badly earlier in the season by like 34 when they played in Houston. I think that the Rockets are getting closer to what we saw earlier in the season now that they're getting a little healthier. They have Dylan Brooks back there. You know, they have their edge defensively. I know it hasn't been pretty, you know, these last few weeks, but I do think, you know, they've covered in three of their last four. I trust them more defensively than I trust the Lakers. And I also think Houston shoots a significant amount of threes compared to the Lakers, who do not take them a lot. So I just thought this is a good math game for the Rockets, who are, you know, going to take the better shots and they're going to defend, you know, their asses off.
Yeah, 3-4 for Houston. But yeah, always we know how much better they play at home, or at least have shown this year. I'm just kind of looking up some numbers. That, you know, every time I think to go bet an under on the Lakers, and I go and look up what they've done recently, I keep forgetting how their defense is like below average right now.
Yeah.
So there you go. So that's not really going to drop me to an underplay. And Houston's defense has even dropped off a little bit, struggling here over the past kind of month and a half.
You mentioned it though, 16-8 against the straight up and against the spread at home this year. Lakers 9-15 straight up on the road, only 11-13 against the spread on the road. I think it's a pretty good spot for Houston.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I like that. Okay. 8:10 Eastern, big one out west. Timberwolves at the Thunder. The Thunder clearly caught in a look-ahead spot yesterday as they lose the Pistons, come on home to play the Timberwolves. They will be laying 2 to 2.5. Or at least that's what you'll see right now. 222.5 to 223, the total in this game. Let's see. Mike Conley, questionable for the Timberwolves side here. I have a Timberwolves money line play from JVT. Nothing for me here, Zach. I think if anything, I'd actually be looking towards the Thunder. Anytime these two teams meet up, though, it's a fascinating clash of styles to me, though. And I can't wait to watch this game. I think I'm going to be passing on and betting, though.
That's how I feel, too. I'm going to watch this one. I don't think I want to bet it. I have the same thought as you that I'm leaning Oklahoma City, especially after the last time we saw these teams play. You know, the Timberwolves couldn't get anything offensively in the fourth quarter. You know, there's just a little bit that separates them defensively, but Oklahoma City has Shea, you know, and Minnesota doesn't. So I feel like that's a big factor late in these games, as easy as it is to say that. But I don't know. It'll be a fun one to watch. I don't hate JVT taking the plus money here, but I do think it's a game that I would expect Oklahoma City to win.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Me too, but yeah, really nothing there. Yeah, I mean, side or total that I would be looking at pregame. All right, take a quick break here. When we come back, finish out the rest of the card.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
And just like that, the Kings are out to 10.5 point favorites against the Grizzlies, who, I don't know, Zach Cohen might be suiting up for tonight in Memphis. Or anybody who lives in Memphis that listens to the podcast, maybe make a call. You might be able to play in an NBA game, live out your dream. All right, 8:40 Eastern time, we've got the Magic at the Mavericks. Mavericks laying 4 to 4.5 right now. at home against the Magic. Again, Orlando just played yesterday against Phoenix. Kyrie Irving is out for Dallas. I'm glad we got that information early. Dwight Powell, Derek Jones Jr., Dante Exum, all questionable. Markelle Fultz questionable for the Magic. Gary Harris out for the Magic. This was when I was initially looking towards the Dallas side. Zach didn't end up playing, though. That's kind of why I made the joke about thanking Kyrie for being noted out early, because I feel like this is another team we've had to wait till like last minute to whether these guys are in or out with Luka. Kyrie ended up being a pass. It would still be lean to the Dallas side, but man, that's it. Both of these teams are kind of, it looks like Magic, they got Franz back, are improving a little bit since they got him back, as me and you kind of talked a lot about when he first went out. We thought that Magic team would struggle without him. They really did. Looks like they're playing a little bit better here recently. In Dallas, man, this team is tough to figure out, but not playing great basketball. No bet for me here, side or total.
Yeah, I had nothing here. Like, when I first looked at it, I thought it was a good spot for Dallas. You know, they're not laying that many points against an Orlando team that played yesterday. But at the same time, I can't think of many teams in the league that have the ability to guard Luka by himself that the Magic do. They just have a ton, you know, of length on the wing. They can throw Franz, they can throw Isaac, they can throw Bancaro at him. So I do think that they match up pretty well defensively, and I think that they are playing, you know, a little bit harder than we've seen the Mavericks lately. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a game that Orlando goes in there and wins outright, honestly.
Yeah, this is, both those teams are struggling right now. I think we're going to see them both be looking better at some point here. Magic team, you and I, we've brought up before. I want it. That's another team I want to be able to root really hard for. But God, they've had some injuries and then some problems. They haven't been able to get some stuff together. But yeah, pass for me on that game as well. Did I get all GVT's picks? I did, right? Yeah, I did. Okay, I'm
gonna make sure. Yes. I
didn't miss any of his for everybody. All right, another one of the great games tonight. 9:10 Eastern. Bucks at the Nuggets. Right now, this is Denver 3.5 to 4. I do see 1 3.5. That's kind of interesting to me. Total 238 to 239. I see out there. Let's see, injury report. Middleton looks like he's good to go. Did get upgraded to probable, so he should be in. Giannis listed as probable right now. Zach, don't know if you caught this though. Illness, we're being told with Giannis. I didn't really have a ton of interest in this game until I saw that come down. I don't really know how bad that is, but you think of illness and then you're going to altitude. Okay, if he's already fatigued, tired, how bad could that end up being? I don't know. I don't think that this is going to be, you know, I'm not looking at this as the same way of laughing with the 76ers and Joel Embiid not even suiting against Nikola Jokic. I think Giannis will go if he can, but you might actually see a little bit of a limited Giannis tonight if he does try to push through that. Putting that all together, this is a pretty heavy lean to Denver side to me. No bet, though. Did you end up doing anything with this one?
I'm with you here. Like, this is a really heavy lean, probably one I'm going to add. I'd say it's more likely than not I end up putting it on my card. So if you look on the Pro Picks page or check back on my story a little bit later, I'll probably be on the Nuggets -4. I know this is the debut of Doc Rivers tonight.
Yes, yep.
I don't think that he's going to fix that defense right away. And you're playing an opponent with the ability to just absolutely carve you up. So I think that it's a really tough ask for Milwaukee to go there and, you know, lose by such a small margin. 4 is not a lot of points.
It's really not. I think that's come. Hasn't that come the Milwaukee way too? I think that opened for, like, I'm shocked that seeing a 3.5 out there. 3-4 for Milwaukee. You got Denver with a little bit of rest advantage in this game. Let's see. Just recently, Denver 6-3 over their past 9. Minus 0.3 net rating, non-garbage time minutes. I mean, they've been middle of the road. They haven't been great, but whatever. Denver at home is a different story. Milwaukee 7-2 over their last 9, plus 5.8 net rating. I get it. The offense is good. The defense is going to have problems. I'm not trying to make this. I just think Doc Rivers is going to be so damn bland, Zach, that like it's I don't really add or take away from the team like tonight because it's his first game, but because it's the first or I don't really add or take away from the Bucks until we see actual change from the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't really think they're going to get a boost or hurt in my ratings because Doc Rivers is there. Maybe down the line they get a little bit of a boost if we see this defense starting to play better. I mean, it'd be really hard for him to screw up the offense at this point. But, like, you know, if the defense can get a little better, maybe they get a little bit of boost. You do got to wonder about night one, though. Are you going to get an extra effort, you know, still from Giannis and some of these guys on night one? Or is, you know, Doc going to start tinkering with some things that are going to, you know, he's going to start tinkering with now that are going to need some time for these guys to get, you know, to learn and get and start working in regularly to what they're doing? I don't really know. You take that, though, kind of as a negative for game one with them?
I don't think I take it as a negative. Even if they upped the effort a little, I still think you're going to get an upped effort from Denver too, because they, you know, they played a really bad game to end the road trip in New York, barely beat the Sixers without everybody playing just a few days ago. So I do think they're going to come out. They're going to play hard this game. And I do think, you know, we've spoken about it a little. I don't think Doc's going to change much from a basketball perspective. I think it's more, you know, the vibe in the locker room won't be as bad. And I think that, you know, come playoff time, even though people don't think very highly of Doc in the playoffs, it seems like Adrian Griffin was really clueless. So I think that, you know, Doc just being an experienced coach will help from an adjustment perspective there, even if he's not a good adjuster himself. So I think those are the changes. Like we've said, this was a good basketball team, even when they fired Griffin. Like, I just don't think much is going to change.
I'm playing the Denver side.
Yeah.
I'm with you. This isn't going to be big, but yeah, especially if you're leaning that way too, I think it's going to be a play on Denver for me tonight. It feels very square. Like, I'm sure everybody's on Denver tonight, but, but who the hell cares? A winner's a winner. I think I'm going to end up playing that one. And geez, why is this Pelicans line continued to move? That is like a full 9 most places now. The Celtics is crazy. It is wild. I mean,
they're taking a lot of, like, it looks like the public is on the Celtics, and if there is any sharp action, it is on the Pelicans. But the line is moving like crazy, so I don't know. I could be completely wrong.
I mean, I just keep going back to, I mean, if they are without, they could be without every one of their reliable bigs tonight.
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, Zion and Valanciunas are like, they might have a field day down around the rim.
Even if I knew Horford and Porzingis were playing, I would still say 9 is a lot. So
I would say that anyways. I'm just that was the point of the Celtics team has been so good, and I'm kind of sick of battling them a little bit that I think at that point it was a stay away. Seeing this injury report now, it's just like, okay, you give me 2 of those 3 guys are out, I'm in on New Orleans for sure.
Definitely.
I'm gonna add Denver. Okay, 76ers and Portland last game tonight. 76ers, 10.5-point road favorites right now. 223 your total in this game. Philly right now is injury report. Maxey and Embiid both questionable. Tobias Harris questionable with an illness. Let's see. And then on the Portland side. By the way, going back to that game last night, was that a play because of the injury boost from Portland that all those guys ended up playing?
I think that I just thought that the Bulls were going to just not have
lay an egg
night.
There. Okay, yeah. Okay. No, it's kind of funny because that was a part of that story from last night. I didn't really end up telling. Was I totally thought most of those guys that were on the injury report were not going to play in the damn they game did for end up, Portland, yeah. And then they like all played in the game. I was like, oh shit, this is a terrible handicap, terrible bet. Ended up getting home anyways. Again, remember the lucky ones. All these shaded sharps on there right now as questionable for the Blazers. Obviously, Robert Williams still out for the season. But only him after about 5 or 6 guys were listed down there yesterday. So that's a little confusing to me. I don't really know that there's much to say on this game. Do you actually have a bet with all these questionables for the Philly side?
No, I have nothing here. The only thing I can say is I'm happy that they're investigating the Embiid being out the other day, because that was ridiculous.
It is. As a guy that's been racking up some MVP bets, you know, smooth transition. As a guy that's been racking up some MVP bets, I wasn't mad to see it, though. Anybody who is counting, we are down to 7 games. Or 6 more that he can miss. The 7th takes him out of running for the MVP. There might be couches that are burned in Philly. There might be riots on the streets. I'd completely understand. I keep going back and forth in my head, Zach. I think I like the new rule But oh man, people are going to freak out if it actually comes into play this year. Like, and, yep. And whatever year it first comes into play, I'm sure people will lose their minds over. But if it really comes into play this year with the season that Embiid is having, there are going to be some people that lose their mind. And I like the rule, but it's going to feel real. It's going to feel weird next year to talk about someone else being the MVP when you know the kind of numbers that Embiid puts up.
Yeah, I've been strongly considering going Joker at just whatever plus money odds I can get because, look, Embiid's going to get some type of small injury that keeps him out a week or two at some point. Like, we'll look back at the game, that last game, and be like, oh, they shouldn't have kept him out of these. He shouldn't be resting because he's going to be injured. But, yeah, I think, like, plus 200 or something is a number I'd be potentially getting in on Joker for.
Okay, so here's and I'm going to pick this up because I won't be with you guys tomorrow. So I did want to hit on this actually a little bit because I know I brought it up last week, both MVP and Rookie of the Year. I know I brought up last week. I'll be on Long Shots tomorrow, so you guys will be without me. So I did want to talk about this a little bit. So Embiid kind of broke down. Everybody, I'll go run through all the counting stats real quick. He's up at what, 36 points per game pretty much right now. I totally wrote that one down wrong. 11.4 rebounds, 5.8 assists, 1.1 steal, 1.8 block. True shooting percentage at 65%, plus 10.7, an estimated plus minus over at dunks and threes. That is best in the NBA. Again, can only miss six more games. Nikola Jokic, 26.3 points per game on the season, 12 rebounds. 8.9 assists, 1.1 steal, about a block a game, 66.1 true shooting percentage for him, plus 7.1 EPM. That is fourth in the NBA. Scoring a little less than both the years that he did win the MVP. I think that is worth noting in this race. SGA, 31.1 points per game, 5.6 blocks, 6.4 assists, 2.3 steals, and 0.8 blocks per game. He has a 64.7 true shooting percentage, plus 9.6 EPM. That is second in the NBA, only behind Joel Embiid. I think with him in a potential Western Conference one seed, I think this actually becomes legit conversation with SGA being in this conversation.
Top of the league in estimated wins by far on dunks and threes.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Giannis, last guy I did write down was Giannis, with all apologies to you, Luca, but I still don't really believe. Whatever number Luka Doncic has been out in the MVP race, whatever his odds have been at for the past 2.5 years, all just still feel too short to me. Like it's more justified now than ever what his odds are, considering what everything else that's going on around him, but I still can't get to how his odds, like, I don't really know why he's shorter than Giannis. I don't really know if I agree with that. Giannis, real quick, 31 points per game, 11.7 rebounds, 6.2 assists, 1.3 steals, 1.1 blocks, 64.7 true shooting percentage, 7.4 EPM. That is third in the NBA. Might end up with his best scoring season ever. I brought that up when I did bet him a couple weeks ago in this market. Bet him at 16-1 or 18-1. I think it was 16-1. Then I added a little bit more to him this weekend, Zach. I added a little bit of 10-1 to him. And the other guy I'm considering, and I might bet it after tonight, is SGA. I think we're actually entering the point where he is a real part of this MVP conversation and needs to be considered now that Embiid really is getting up there against this games thing. I think what my strategy is going to be, and this is so funny because this is where MVP is already a difficult discussion seemingly year in and year out with Jokic and Embiid going back and forth at each other. And whose turn is it to get the makeup award basically for the year before? Already been tough enough. Now we're going to possibly eliminate one of these guys because he doesn't play enough games. I understand why you're going to look at Jokic first. I think Nikola Jokic, best basketball player on the planet Earth, in my opinion. I completely understand why you'd be going to look for him at MVP. I think I'm going to probably end up taking the route of trying to surround, like grabbing pieces of almost everybody but Nikola Jokic. Because if we keep seeing Embiid's odds drift, which we should, he might be an ad for me if he gets to like 4-1 or something like that, and just kind of roll the dice that he's going to hopefully not miss any of the games. But if I have tickets on Giannis, him, and then possibly on SGA here around that same number, I think I'm good going to battle and just hoping that I get one of those horses home and it's not Jokic that beats me. So I think that's what I'm going to do. However, I completely understand anybody who would want to say, let me grab Nikola Jokic right now at a close to 2-1. You're getting what, like plus 175, plus 180, most places what they're dealing right now on him. So completely understand why anybody would go there. The biggest thing for me, though, is Giannis's odds here. I still think they're too long compared to the rest of these guys. I know that depends book to book. I know some books have him down at like 6-1 or plus 550. I think that is more accurately priced. The books where you can find him in double digits. I know Caesars had him at 10-1 the other day. That's where I bet him. If you're still talking about that kind of number, I think it's a good bet to be making right now. Zach, I don't know how you're feeling about all this. You're looking towards making a Jokic bet, though, you think?
I think if I can get it at plus 200, I consider it. I don't hate what you said at all about SGA, though, because I think he's right there with the two of them. I think we've kind of made this a two-man conversation when it doesn't deserve to be. So, I don't know. I'd love to see SGA kind of get his love. Jokic is also having, you know, the worst season he's had in the last 4 years, which is not really talked about much at all. But
We got to pause, though. Like, which yes, it is true what Zach just said. He still had incredible seasons, and he's still having an incredible season. Yeah. But I think it's something that you have to think of, right? When we're talking about this race as a whole, he's still, yes, right now, he's not having as good of a season as he's had over the past few.
Yeah. I think that like that speaks though to the potential of a makeup win for him. Like, we're giving it back to him in this on the case of because we feel bad we didn't give it to him last year.
This race has gotten absurd though. If we're going to do that like 2 years in a row,
yeah,
it has gotten absolutely absurd if we're going to do that 2 years in a row. So that's where I'm just hoping that the NBA collective brains will not do that and actually look to consider some of these other guys, especially when you're talking about. Look, I know Denver could end up there, but what if Denver's the 4-5 seed in the West? What if Philly, you know, is the 3-4 seed in the Eastern Conference, something like that? And then you've got Oklahoma City at the 1 or 2 seed and Milwaukee at the 1 or 2 seed. Like, that's got to factor in, right? Like, I would hope it does. I would think it does. But who
knows? That's why I brought up estimated wins, by the way, because that was where Joker led the league. 3 years in a row. And that's, you know, people thought he should have won last year. So I think it is a big deal that SGA is ahead of those two guys this year in that. So it's something to monitor.
Yeah. So I'm going to add a piece of him here today. Look at the number that I can get on him. And then we talked about it last week. I forget which day you and I did alone. I think it was Thursday. We brought up Rookie of the Year. I did add a piece of Chet at 2-1 here in town over the weekend. I know I sent you and JVT a text of planning out my timing. Thought I was planning it out to perfection. And then, of course, the Thunder lose to the Pistons yesterday. Not exactly sure how that happens. And then you get Wemby coming back with a fairly easy game tonight against the Wizards. For anybody who missed that conversation on Thursday, Victor Wembanyama is going to have increased minutes. We're seeing him play more at the center. I do think these big games are going to continue with him. He's going to have the narrative that he's had all season long with Rookie of the Year heading into the season with the hype surrounding him. But you and I have talked about this, Zach. Chet with pretty comparable numbers still. I know the blocks are a little bit behind. I know the points are a little bit behind. I know everything's just a little bit behind what Wemby's doing, though. He's beating him in EPM, though, right now, Chet is. And I just keep going back to it might not be the right way to look at Rookie of the Year. It's not often is because we don't often get this, but I would hope it would matter a little bit more that one of these guys is playing for a playoff team, and not only a playoff team, but he's a significant contributor to a team that right now is battling for the first place in the Western Conference. So I made a Chet bet at 2-1. You and I talked about this last week, though. I don't really know that that's where I'm going to stop with Rookie of the Year betting. I just think there's a good chance we see this swing of who the favorite is, you know, maybe a couple times here over the next couple months of the season. Or I could be completely wrong, and I've made my one bet in the Rookie of the Year market, and Wembanyama runs away with this thing when he's averaging like 25 and 13 a night in his increased minutes role with the Spurs. I don't know if you have any new thoughts on that market, but I just wanted to let everybody know I did actually make a bet after we were talking about that last week.
No, but my only thoughts are I'm a little nervous. I think that Vic actually jumped Chet in EPM over the weekend.
Really? Over the weekend?
By like a minimal amount. I think it's 3.9 versus 3.8. But I do think that is going to be something to watch moving forward, but Chet still has him in BPM and VORP. So okay. I don't know. Like I do think that, you know, if you're banking on advanced stats as a, you know, something that favors Chet, the fact that he is no longer ahead in all three is something that's a little concerning, but yeah, I agree with you. Like I would personally give this to Chet. I think that a lot of, you know, basketball nerds would give this to Chet, and then you'll get more of the casual voters giving it to Wembanyama.
Yeah. Yeah. And it look, it's a bet because of that. You know, we talked about this Thursday, but hopefully it wasn't a huge bet at 2-1. Cause I am hopefully going to add multiple pieces. If this works out the way I'm thinking it could, there's definitely a world with this, you know, him playing the center and this increased minutes that Pop has told us about. There's definitely a world where Wemby just runs away with this thing. And I won't be shocked. I'm not going to say the guy doesn't deserve it. He's been incredible. It's just this is one of the best rookie of the year races, in my opinion, that we've had in a very, very, very long time. So both great players. I just think, you know, if you were smarter than me, easily you could have had nice plus prices on these guys going back even the past month or so. So I think this is just a market where you have the rare opportunity to play that game, or might have that opportunity to play that game going forward. So just want to let everybody know I did make that bet, because I know we were talking about it at the end of last week and I was kind of eyeing a time to jump in on the Chet side. So I did grab a piece of him. When I was looking around and finally I saw two to one here at Westgate in town, that had to be a buy point for me.
So. Yep. I wish I played it smarter, by the way, because you're right. I could have added both at plus money, but I was a little stubborn. Didn't do it.
No. That's so. Like, if I lose, right? If I lose, Zach, I deserve to lose because I was stubborn on Chet too much early, right? When I could have added a nice plus price already on Wembanyama and had just been adding back a nice 2-1 on Chet right now. So totally, it's totally that situation, Zach, where if I lose, I deserve to lose because I should have had plus money on both these guys already. I'm just now starting that plan for some reason. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Okay. All right. Zach Cohen, I'm going to go to you first. What do you got for tonight?
Oh God, you're going to have to let me pull it up.
All right. I'm going to go
first. Actually, good thing the website's fast.
all right. I got the Knicks laying six. Actually, my card sucks. To tell people about. I got Knicks laying 6.5. They're currently laying 9. I would not lay it at 9 unless you know LaMelo is not going to play. And if you know that, then yes, play. I would lay the 9 still right now. I did play Jazz small at a pick'em. That is still playable pick'em or Jazz 1 you will find around right now. I laid 8 points with the Sacramento Kings. That is out to 10.5 now with the Grizzlies looking for stadium volunteers, I think, to fill out that roster tonight. That's everything I've bet. I will be adding Nuggets, though, as you and I discussed, and Pelicans will be a play for me if a couple of those bigs are out for the Celtics tonight. Zach, what do you got while I pull up JVT stuff?
I have Clippers money line -125. I think the most I'd go down that was -130 before jumping on like -1.5.
Okay. And JVT is on that Clippers side too. Yep. He's on Clippers, Jazz, and then Timberwolves.
Yep. And then I have Pelicans +9. I'd probably play it at 8.5 if I had to. Over 235 in Jazz Nets. Rockets +1. And then I have Vince Williams Jr. over 11.5 points if he does end up playing. And I also took a small bite of alternate points over 14.5 at +165.
Nice. Well, hopefully he goes, because I think we got a good shot to hit it if he does. Yeah. Not many other guys out there.
Everyone scores 70 every night now, so maybe it'll be Vince Williams' turn.
Right, there you go. Exactly. Yeah. Come on. You're a chump if you don't put up at least 50 into this NBA. Come on, at some point this season. All right, I'm out of here. Not here tomorrow. It will be Zach and JVT tomorrow. I got long shots. Anybody looking for Pebble Beach plays this week, check out long shots. Zach and JVT back with you tomorrow. You've been listening to Hardwood Handicappers. See ya.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.